open your Bibles, if you will, to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. We are studying the book of Daniel on Sunday evenings, and actually it's been pretty interesting. I've learned a lot. Hopefully some of that has rubbed off. But the book of Daniel, and Daniel himself, is just a very interesting character and brings up all kinds of things that are very appropriate for what we're seeing today in our world. But in the book of Daniel, we see the hand of God interceding in the lives of both men and nations. And we see that in a very, you know, clear and precise way. We see in that book, we see miracles. We see stories of deliverance. We see, of course, an overabundance of pride. And then we see how that pride is abased. We see the devil and how he has and will continue to try to gain the upper hand in the fight with Almighty God. And of course, we see how the devil will ultimately lose that battle. Amen? We see stories of great faith, stories of great courage. We see how that God protected Daniel. He blessed Daniel. He spoke to Daniel. He spoke through Daniel. And he opened the future to Daniel. That is, he gave him some prophecies of some things that we're going to be happening in the future, and that is one of the big attractions of the book of Daniel. And God used Daniel to open up those prophecies so that we, you and I, could have a chance to understand at least a little bit of what's going to go on in the end times. and then John, of course, in the book of Revelation, expounded on those end time prophecies, and we get a little more detail. Last week, we spent time looking at the church, and specifically at the rapture of the church. This week, I just wanted to jump into the next major event and just spend some time looking at what's going to happen after you and I get out of here. Amen? I know very well that the majority of you are very familiar with these things, but I did want to cover it again and look at a bunch of Bible verses and just go through and talk about this thing that you and I know of and we think about, this thing we call the tribulation time period coming up. Because, folks, it's coming soon. Amen? So before we get into that, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll take a look at this tribulation time period. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to be here. And, Lord, I know that the vast majority of these folks here this morning are saved, born again. They have been instructed in the Word of God, and Lord, they know the Bible, but there's always some, you know, some questions and some things that are good to go back and review, and I pray that you would help us to do that here this morning. Just help us, Father, to realize just how close we are to this tribulation time period. We talked last week about how close we are to you coming and getting us, taking us out of here, and Lord, we're certainly looking forward to that, but when we leave, there's going to be a big change. And it behooves us to have a good idea of what it is that's going to be happening. So I just pray that you bless us here this morning. Give us some insight, some wisdom into the things that are going on around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, folks. Like I said, I realize that many of you are familiar with much of this stuff. But every now and then, it's just a good thing to step back and just go over the basics and the fundamental things and why we have structured and why we have things laid out dispensationally the way that we do. I think it's critical. I think it's important. And a lot of times what happens is we cover a lot of that stuff sometimes on Wednesday nights and Sunday night Bible study, the more, you know, detailed things of scriptures. And sometimes I neglect to cover some of those things on Sunday mornings. And so every once in a while, I just like to go back and do that and kind of refresh anybody that may be here on a Sunday morning that maybe don't get a chance to be here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. But these things are some basic attributes, the basic layout of the time frame of this time period that we call the tribulation. Let's start by looking at Daniel chapter 12, and let's just look at verse 1. There's going to be It's a little different this morning. It's more of almost a Bible. I don't know if it's a Bible study as much as it is just a survey, going in and just looking and reminding ourselves of what is going to be going on. So we're going to be reading a lot of scripture, and I'd just like you to kind of mull over it and think about it here this morning. So Daniel 12, verse 1 says this, And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even unto that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, and the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? It is amazing thing when you stop and think about what Daniel had a chance to see and what it is, ladies and gentlemen, this world is getting ready to go into, right? A time of trouble, he described it, such as never was. Well, folks, there's been some pretty tumultuous times throughout the course of men's history. I mean, just look back recently. Look at all the veterans we have coming back from, you know, from the Gulf Wars. You go back a little further, you have Vietnam, you have the Korean War, you have World War II, right? You have World War I, not to mention all the wars we read about in history. There have been some times in this earth that have been pretty tumultuous. I mean, I don't know, does anybody here remember ration stamps before everybody's time during the wars when you couldn't get food? Or your ration, you had ration stamps for necessity, for gas, for food. Remember, we all remember during COVID when we couldn't get toilet paper, right? Or paper towels. And we thought that was bad. I mean, that was a major trial for Americans in the 20th century. But folks, there have been times in this country when we've gone through wars where people had trouble getting bread, milk, gas. And we forget that sometimes. We have been so blessed. We have been so abundantly blessed by God that we've lost sight of just how bad things can get. But that's what this world is getting ready to go through when it comes to this tribulation time period. We're nearing that end of times, and it is going to be, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be a time of trouble. And that's what I just labeled it here this morning. Just to remind us, and again, like I said, put our thoughts in the right perspective of this time of trouble that's coming up. I am thankful that we are going to miss it because we're saved. We'll talk about that in a second. But it is going to be bad. And there's a lot of confusion over the time. You guys are pretty well up to speed on those things. You know the general outline of the human history, how 7 days and 7,000 years, and you guys know that when we talk about that 7-year tribulation time period, we are talking about Daniel's 70th week, right? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, it says this. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So we know, and we're very familiar with the fact that this time period, this 70-week time period, the whole purpose of it is to for God to complete his dealings with the nation of Israel, right? That's what these scriptures are all about. And we know that It says in Daniel 9 that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and that when we look down at the scripture, take a look at verse 25, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Just go back a couple of pages in your Bible, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. It says this, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even the in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." That 62 weeks, we know that 70 weeks is... one day is equal to a year in prophecy. We don't have time to go in and look at that, but the Bible defines that for us. So that 70 weeks is a period of 490 days. 70 weeks, 490 days. And we know that after 69 of those weeks, 62 and then 7, that's 69, 483 years, the Messiah is going to come down and he's going to be cut off. And that is, of course, from the time that there was a commandment that went out from Artaxerxes to restore Jerusalem, to rebuild Jerusalem, until the time that Christ the Messiah showed up was 483 years, just like Daniel said. But then there's that 1 week that's left over, that seven-year time period. And that, of course, is Daniel's 70th week. Take a look at chapter 9. In verse 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Look at verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." 7 years. "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So the Antichrist comes in and he sets this whole thing up. And ladies and gentlemen, he gets into that seven-year time period and he messes things up like crazy. And that's the time period we're looking at this morning, and I blew that up. Of course, we know that the first thing that's going to happen, like we covered last week, is the rapture of the church. Folks, you and I are definitely going to get out of here before that tribulation time period happens. It says in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpets shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." What a great thought that is. And that's going to happen before this 7 year tribulation time period goes into effect. You and I are going to get out of here, and like I said, we spent all last week talking about that, and it was a great time. But have you ever stopped to think about what is this earth going to be like when every single Christian is gone? Yeah. Every single Christian has been taken away. Oh, listen, there'll be plenty of religious people left. The ones that are lost. Right? There'll be plenty of churches, church buildings left. But folks, there won't be any Christians. Who's going to pray for someone's family? You ever think about that? I mean, we're all out of here. Who's left? The only people that are left are lost people. All across the spectrum, all the way from people who thought they were saved and really weren't, to people who didn't care and they're completely ungodly and absolutely wicked. You have the whole spectrum that are left back here. And now all of a sudden, folks, you and I are gone, the Christians are gone, and who is there left on this earth to petition God to say, "God, help us"? It's going to be a terrible time. I mean, lost people are going to be the ones trying to contact God. I don't know, I was thinking about that. Can you imagine, you know, a planet, a whole country, or a whole family even, where nobody's praying for somebody else to get saved, that God's listening to. I mean, I know he's going to hear their prayers, and I know that because of the turmoil, people are going to turn to God, and that which is the whole purpose of that time period. But man, when it gets started, folks, there is nothing. It is desolate. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye," what? "Sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." When you and I get out of here, this world is going to be left in a position, in a place where everybody here is going to be under that category of having no hope. I can't imagine living like that, much less being in a world that's all there is. It is going to be wild. It's going to be a time of great sorrow. Listen, if you're lost here this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of these days, all the people that are praying for you, all the Christians that are praying for you, are going to be raptured up out of here. They're going to be gone, and you are going to be left behind. You guys have family, friends that are lost, neighbors, co-workers. Hey, one of these days, the Lord's going to take us up out of here, and every one of those people are going to be left behind. And they're going to be in a position where we're gone. That's something to think about. You take a look at the first half of that tribulation time period, and you begin to see some things that are going on. Take a look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 20. Take a look at Daniel 11, verse 20. And Daniel 11 says, Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. You say, oh, he's already there. In the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood, they shall be overflowed from before him, and he shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province, and shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. All right, so you get to this place in the tribulation. Again, it's just time for us to just sit back and just think about what's going on for a little bit. You and I get pulled out of here. We're gone. Everyone that's left is lost. They're desperate. They're looking. They're searching. And up arises this guy who comes in, and he takes over peaceably. He's got some good ideas, because, folks, don't you know that when every Christian is gone from this place, the people that are left, remember, they're full of sorrow. They have no hope. They're searching for some way out, because they begin to realize, hey, we are in a mess. We're in a trouble. And they begin looking for hope, and that's when the Antichrist shows up and presents himself as the one who's going to offer the solution to their problems. Can you imagine how tempting it's going to be? And he's deceitful, he lies, and it looks good at the beginning. But can you imagine to those folks who have nothing, how much of an appeal that's going to be? It's a crazy thing. I mean, this Redeemer is going to sound pretty good in their ears. And folks, people are going to fall for him left and right. After all, he's offering peace and safety. Right? You imagine he's, you know, I'm sure there's going to be economic chaos, economic collapse, and you have this whole system getting set up, and people are looking for an answer. Listen, they're just looking to feed their families. And he begins to offer some solutions. And folks, people by the millions are going to follow him. All the Christians are gone. They're not even there to warn them anymore. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I can't imagine what that's actually going to be like. Take a look at Matthew 24. The Bible says in verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, that of course is Jesus, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." You and I we're sitting here, and I'm sure you've been watching what's going on over in Israel. Now, I don't know that, you know, the Iran launched this, massive attack, supposedly. I'm looking at that going, I think, this is my personal opinion, one of two things. I think that was either a decoy for the real thing coming later on, or B, everybody, a bunch of guys got together in the back room and said, "Hey, we're going to launch this attack from Iran. We're going to give you plenty of time to shoot down these drones. None of them are going to make it, or almost none of them are going to make it. And then we can say we attack, you can say you defended, and we'll call it a truce for now." I have a feeling they had some backroom deals that probably just gave the appearance of let Iran flex its muscles, let Israel defend itself. And of course, you know, the U.S. actually got involved in helping shoot down some of those missiles as well. So then the U.S., I think it was probably all set up. Now, I may be kind of cynical, but I don't trust the news media that much. But wars and rumors of wars. Now, maybe this one's averted for a time. But maybe not. We're sitting here at a place, folks, when these wars and rumors of wars, those things could creep up any moment, and we could find, between last week and this week, we could have found ourselves literally in the middle of World War III. Now, I'm glad we averted it, or appear to have averted it so far. Because who wants to look forward to that? But man, we are that close to this thing actually happening. Right? In Daniel 8:9, we talked about that little horn, which waxed exceeding great. And for those of you that have been in our Bible studies, you know that the little horn is the Antichrist. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven in Daniel 8, chapter 8, verse 10. And it cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he, that's that little horn, the Antichrist, magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. That Antichrist rose up, and during that first 3.5-year time period that we're looking at right now, it started off kind of peaceably. He comes in peaceably, and he appears to have some solution and some answers to some political problems, probably some economic problems, some food problems, and millions of people follow him. And he's being deceitful the whole time. And he comes in, and eventually what he does is he magnifies himself. And during that first 3.5-year period, you guys know that the sacrifices are reinstituted. They're taking place, and the Jews are happy. The temple has obviously been rebuilt, right? I was looking at some articles, and there is one guy that, you know, he's very famous, and he's been trying since the 70s. He's got one block. It was like a 4-ton block. that he has tried multiple times over the course of the years, back since the 70s. Every year or two, he's tried to get that block placed. And of course, no one's let him do it. You got a whole group of Levites that have been found, and they're genetically looking for him, and they're consecrating the priests, and they're getting all the vessels and everything set up. And Israel is looking for the time when they can just step in, and they're ready. They're ready with everything they need to begin that sacrifice again. They've got the priests found. They've got everything. They've got everything but a place to do it. And every now and then you hear stories of the red heifer, and that always, you know, it cycles through, and every now and then they find one that's going to fit the bill. Folks, we're at a place where everything is set, and that tribulation time period is upon us. And that Antichrist magnifies himself to God because he wants to take over. And during that time period in Matthew 24, it says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, you know that you and I are gone, right? We're out of here. But those that are left during that time period, some of those Jews are going to come to some conclusions of, oh boy. They're going to begin to see what's going on. They're going to begin to, the scriptures are going to begin to be opened in their minds. They begin to realize who the Lord Jesus Christ, what he was all about. And they're going to begin to, you know, seek after God. Offer those sacrifices. And the devil, the Antichrist, is going to raise up, and he's going to begin to kill those Jews. Right? He is going to begin to slaughter them and anybody that goes along with them. Many false prophets shall arise, it says in Matthew 24, and deceive many. And because of iniquity, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then it says this, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. How many of you have heard that verse before? Right? What's it talking about? It's talking about some Jew or even Gentile in the middle of that tribulation, and the Antichrist is raised up and he's manifested himself, and that you get into that tribulation time period, folks, and there's some things that change. And those folks are going to have to hold on. Right? And it says you may think, well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. They can get through it. In Revelation 13, it says, and he that, right, the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You imagine sitting in the tribulation time period? Now, who is it that you and I think of that brought fire down from heaven? God's prophets, right? That's what these people are going to be seeing. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. People actually think he's God. And he had power in Revelation 13 to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now we're talking. Now things are beginning to move, right? And of course, in 13:7 it says, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark. Now you're getting into the middle of this time frame, and you know, at that point in time, you will go to church, his church, right? You will wear your mask while you go to church, and you will take that mark. In Revelation 8, it says this, just again, thinking about what some things that are going on during that tribulation time period. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Can you imagine? I mean, literally, think about what that's like. You look at Hiroshima or Nagasaki after the bombs were dropped. We're talking that kind of desolation. Folks, it's bad. That's what's going on. The second angel sounded, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. A third part of the sea became blood. The third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. It fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. You can't get water. You can't get food. The fourth angel sounded, and a part of the sun was smitten. We're talking permanent eclipse. And the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. You've got the sun failing. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? In Revelation 11, it says this, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." You have those two witnesses being brought up. You get over and you get into the mid part of that tribulation time period, and some of these verses kind of span the beginning to the middle, but you get into that mid-tribulation time period. In the middle of that tribulation, the Bible says in Matthew 24, it says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation." Hasn't been bad enough so far, right? "Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if a man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, there, believe it not. There shall arise false Christs." You're going to go through that time period there, and you're going to find that the Antichrist comes on the scene. All those things that you read about in Revelation start happening, and folks, this world is going to be in a mess. You can't buy. You can't sell. All the Christians are gone. The Jews are trying to get the Bible figured out, and they get some things figured out, but man, it's dark. And as you go through those vials and those trumpets and all that stuff that you read about in Revelation, you make it back over towards the end of that 7-year time period. And I don't have time to go over all the verses that we have down there. You could spend hours reading those, but you make it through that 7-year tribulation period towards the end of that time, and there's something that's going to happen over towards the end of that time period. Folks, there's going to be another rapture that takes place, and the Lord is going to get some folks out of here. Take a look at Matthew 24. Take a look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 36 through 42. Take a look at verse 36. Um, Well, let me start back in 15. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, let him which be in Judea flee to the mountains. We just read that, right? Pray your flight not be in winter, for then shall be great tribulation. And then take a look at verse 36. It says this, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And you know as well as I do, folks, a lot of people take this passage in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, and they try to make this rapture the church rapture, and it doesn't work. But God's talking about this rapture towards the end of the tribulation time period. And it says, but of that day and that hour, no man knoweth, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We're getting close to the second coming, right? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They're not aware of it. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord cometh. Those verses are talking about that rapture at the end of the tribulation time period. Take a look at Matthew 20:24. Jump down to verse 44. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, find him so shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. The Lord comes back and take some of these people out of here. Take a look at Revelation 7, verse 14. Revelation 7, verse 14. Just a couple verses on this post-tribulation rapture. Revelation 7. Let me find Revelation. It's in the back there, right? Revelation 7, verse 14. Look at verse 13. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's some folks up in heaven that John sees that have been taken out of that great tribulation time period. That's that second rapture towards the end, right before the second advent. Take a look at Revelation 11, just over a couple pages. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. You look at those two witnesses. Now, those two witnesses have been prophesying for about 3.5 years. And after 3 days, and then they got killed. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And as they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them, the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. So you know that that's happening right towards the end of that time period. So you have that tribulation time period going, and you have the winding down close to the end, and you have some references in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 to this rapture that happens. And in Revelation, we see that there are souls that were in that great tribulation taken up off the earth, and they're in heaven. And in Revelation 11, we see those two witnesses that are resurrected, and they get taken up, raptured up. That's when that takes place. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I mean, it's bad enough that 7 years ago we had a bunch of people disappear. Now they're sitting here with the Antichrist in place, and he's gotten this whole thing down. The Jews are running for their life, and all of a sudden the Lord reaches down, and he grabs a bunch of those Jews, and he brings them up. Brethren, the time is getting close then, right? You heard the story of the ten virgins, right? In Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. Now folks make the mistake a lot of times of trying to apply this to the church and the rapture of the church. That's not what this is. This is that second rapture towards the end of the tribulation. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them and sell and buy for yourselves." And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, verily, I know you not." You got folks during that tribulation time period, some of them think they're going to make it out, and they don't make it. That's not talking about church-age saints. If you're saved, born again, we know that. All of us are going. But can you imagine what it's going to be like for those tribulation saints? Those guys have got to be on the ball. They've got to keep watching. They've got to keep their eyes open. They've got to look for the Lord. They've got to be ready at any time. There's no dropping the ball. There's no backsliding during the tribulation time period. You can't afford to. You backslide for a week, guess what? That might be the time that he comes back. You have lost people that you know, that's what they're facing. They don't get saved. You have lost people that you know that you have a chance to witness to. Let me ask you this. What do you think their chances are of not backsliding for 7 years? They can't make it 7 days. Most of us can't make it 7 days. It is going to be a time, man. I sit here and I watch the news, and I don't know about you, but I was watching, throughout the course of the week, what's going to happen? What's Iran going to do? What's going on? I'm just thinking about, hey, Lord, this could happen. All the stuff we've been reading about, all the stuff we've been studying the Bible for and learning and going over doctrine, and all of it has the ability to come to fruition any time now. I mean, I hope the Lord tarries for a while. But those 10 virgins, man, five of them were ready, and they were faithful, and they had that oil ready to go. They were prepared, and 5 of them, when the Lord came down and took those 5 and took them out of there. And folks, those other 5 were left. It is not as easy to get saved in the tribulation as it is now. There's a whole lot of other qualifying things that have to happen. And then finally you get through that second advent, and those think of those 5 virgins that are sitting there going, but Lord, we, and the Lord looks down and says, "I never knew you." That's rough. See, when you get to that part of the thing, he's ready to come back. And he's ready to come back in his wrath and his fury. And you know what? He's not messing around. We have it pretty easy right now because the Lord's very long-suffering, very patient. And he has those same characteristics during the tribulation. But during the tribulation, he's fed up and he's ready to come back. And 5 of those virgins missed. They missed that rapture. They got left. And what do they have to face now? Now they have to face the second advent. In Matthew 24, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, one from the one end of heaven to the other. He is coming back, and he is ready to go. Take a look at, I'm in Revelation. Take a look at Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Take a look at chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Never mind, I have the wrong reference here. Look at 19, verse 1. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." You get through that 7-year tribulation time period, the Lord raptures a bunch of people up towards the end, and folks, then he comes back and he wreaks havoc, and he's going to totally wipe out the devil and his forces. The Lord's going to come back. He's going to sit down on that throne at Jerusalem. He's going to come back. They're going to make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But before that happens, they got 7 years for the people that you and I know that are lost. If the Lord was to come, what if the Lord would have came back this week? How many people do you know that for the next 7 years would be facing this thing that we call the tribulation? It's a wild thing to think about. I'm excited because I'm looking forward to the Lord coming back and getting us out of here at the rapture. That's a great thing. But folks, can you imagine what's going to go on for those that are left behind? And sometimes, and it's just human nature, sometimes we get real self-centered and we think about what's going to happen to me. Like we did last week. Last week was, hey, it's all about me. The rapture, yay. But don't ever let that mask what's going to happen to all those that are left behind. Because what they're going to face is far worse than anything you and I could even possibly imagine. Right? You begin to think about where you and I sit as Christians and what's important in life. Well, I'll tell you what's important. A, trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. Trying to live right and live for God because he's God. Amen. Right? You and I know once we get saved, we've got to look forward to the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, rewards in heaven. All those things are great things to look forward to, and that encourages us and that helps us along the way. But man, we are in a place where there's a whole bunch of people that at an instant in time could be left back to face this thing that we call the Great Tribulation. And the reality is most of them won't make it through there. Most of them will be killed or die somehow or another over the course of that 7-year time period. And I just wanted to take a day just to go back and remind us that, folks, while we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the rapture, let's never forget what's going to take place on this earth after we're gone. Right? Let's never forget. And I am looking forward to that second advent and the time when the Lord Jesus Christ takes his rightful place on the throne and things are going to be restored back to the way that they should be. They should have been all along. But during that time frame when the devil is in control down here and all the Christians are gone and you've just got some straggling Gentiles and some straggling Jews that are trying to keep their head above water and do right and live right and keep the commandments and offer sacrifice and fleeing out into the wilderness and all the things that we read about them doing during the tribulation time period. I know the Lord's going to take care of them, but can you imagine all the other people, the lost people? They're going to fall under that reign of the Antichrist, and the devil is going to wreak havoc on this earth. And then the Lord's going to come back and wipe everything out and punish all those that fell for his lies and his deceits. They can't win. There's a very few of them that make it through the tribulation and come out the other end right. The vast majority of people, they're doomed. Right? Which is why we ought to be, about our best now trying to warn them. Because folks, when I watch the news and I see stuff and I see everything going on with Israel, I'm just reminded, this last week I was just reminded, man, this stuff that we talk about could have been taking place this weekend. I'm glad it's not. And I don't know how long it's going to be until it happens. But we are at a place in history where we are right at that door. And folks, you and I as Christians have a grave responsibility. Because right now, we are the only thing, the Bible, we're the only light a lot of times most of these people out in this world see. Because most of them don't pick up a Bible. They will. They'll try. But right now, you and I are the light that they see. Amen. Right? Let's never forget that. Because what they're going to go through is worse than anything any of us could even imagine. Amen? Amen. We have a big responsibility, and it's weighing heavy on our shoulders. And the time is getting closer and closer and closer. And as much as I would love to get out of here right this minute, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. Man, you can't help but feel terrible for everyone that's going to be left behind. No matter how bad they are. Right? You've heard the old saying, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Well, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I'm not angry enough with anybody to say, I hope you go through that. So let's keep that in mind. We look forward to our part, the rapture. Let's never, ever forget what's coming after that. The tribulation time period. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to be back here. And Lord, just go over some things that are in the Bible that we are very familiar with. But sometimes we just don't take the time to just sit back and ponder just how bad it's really going to be. Father, I do pray that you would help us as Christians. Help us to shine. Help our light to shine even brighter right now. We don't know how much time we have left. So Lord, keep us about your business. Help us to remember that there's people watching us. Help us to be in prayer for lost people that we know. Help us, Father, to be as good of an example as we can be while we yet have time. And Lord, help us to try to win as many souls as we can. We do pray that you come quickly, but Lord, we certainly don't look forward to what's going to happen during down here on this earth. after you take us out of here. It is a time that I wouldn't wish on anybody. So pray that you'd help us to shine. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.